We will be reading two psalms this morning. We'll begin reading Psalm 103. Psalm 103. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength and do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And now we turn to Psalm 100, and we'll read this psalm as well, which will be the text of the message, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. May God bless the reading and the preaching of His holy word. I invite you again to open your Bibles in Psalm 100. We'll be reading this psalm again. Note that the inscription is a psalm of praise. And this is the word for praise that can also be translated a psalm of thanksgiving. This is the only psalm in all the psalms that has this very inscription. It's been a favorite of the church in terms of expressing our gratitude to God. It's truly a psalm proper for thanksgiving. Let us read Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. As I mentioned, this is a psalm of thanksgiving. It was specifically given to us by the Holy Spirit so that we could use it to thank God back for what He has given us and for what He has done and for who He is. And notice how the whole topic of thanksgiving is just part and parcel of how we respond back to God based upon who He is and what He does to us and how He treats us. And you'll also notice that thanksgiving, and this psalm shows it so well, is never alone. Thanksgiving is always surrounded by other graces, other elements that are all part of responding back to God. They're all part of how we relate to God since He relates to us. And thanksgiving takes somewhat of a central role because it has to do with the heart that you have and what you end up doing with it when you express that heart and that attitude, that feeling, but that understanding. And it involves all these other things, all these other graces. And we can call them then the friends of thanksgiving because they're always with thanksgiving. You can never really express thanks without one or some or all of these. And the psalm presents all of these: singing and joy and knowledge and gratitude, praise, blessing. And elsewhere you find prayer. And in this psalm also you find service. And a lot of these are very related. Some of these are almost used as synonyms, one to another, one with the other. But they're all being used to express gratitude to God. And they all can be used and should be used. And it follows a lot like other fruit of the Spirit. Gratitude is a fruit of the Spirit. And when you think of other fruit of the Spirit, they also oftentimes are expressed with others around it. So for example, when you have kindness, you end up expressing that with goodness. Goodness is never alone. There's always kindness behind it, producing it. And when you think of patience and you're exercising patience, where did that come from? Well, it came from a lot of self-control within. They're always friends. They're graces that walk together. And thanksgiving has many of them. In Psalm 100, what we notice are three groups of couplets. They're put together and they have such an intimate relationship that they're almost like I mentioned synonyms. So we'll be looking at these. The first ones are basically those used to express thanksgiving. And they're these: singing and joy. The second one are two that are the foundation of thanksgiving, and that's knowledge and gratitude. And then the third group are really showing the heart of thanksgiving. It has to do with what you also show to God, but it's showing really the heart as well. And those are the last three: praise and blessing. And we could add more to this list. Like I mentioned, there's prayer, there's service, there's humility. There's so many graces of what you really understand and how you comprehend who God is to then return back to Him with a grateful heart. But we'll use these of what the psalm brings through. And notice also how they're all brought to us in a form of a command. It's not optional for the Christian to return thanks. You are commanded. And it's not optional for you to return thanks with a happy heart. You're commanded to do it with joy. That's the very way it begins. Make a joyful noise. And then we know this relates to gratitude, because in verse 4 it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And you notice that all of these verses related to the gratitude that must be shown are all imperatives. Look at verse 1, make a joyful noise. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. And then verse 4, enter into His gates. And even in verse 4, the last word, bless His name. It's a command that you are to praise, that you are to bless. And notice also, lastly in terms of introduction, it's not just the church that is commanded to come before God with this kind of thanksgiving. It's the whole world. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And Psalm 103 that we read spoke of how everyone is called to do this. It's for all the peoples have to realize who God is and respond to who He is with gratitude. Now let's begin then with the first couplets, the singing and joy. And this is, like I mentioned, how thanksgiving is expressed. You can express your gratitude to God with singing and with joy in your singing. The very first word, joyful noise, is only one word, and it's the word for shouting, but with, of course, that idea of a joyful kind of shouting. It's to sound a trumpet. It's you're announcing to everyone what's inside your heart. And it has to come out with a noise, because that's how it can be made observable by others. And of course, your focus is not just others, but it's God. You want to let Him know how thankful you feel. And it comes out with a joyful noise. And then verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. There the word gladness is plainly the word joy, mirth. It can be used for the word, for the phrase of holding a feast. The psalmist is saying you should have the disposition of holding a feast to announce to all peoples who God is for you, and let God know how grateful you are. Hold a feast. Come before God with a desire to be feasting because of who He is and because of what He's done for you. Happiness is that one word, that one thing that every single human pursues. And it's so sad to see where they've been pursuing happiness. People pursue it in riches, they pursue it in pleasures, they pursue it in career, they pursue it in relationships. And every single one who pursues it at this earthly level, they never find it. So you see why this is for the whole world. The whole world ought to be grateful in God, because that one thing they pursue can only be found in God. And that's the only place they'll finally say, I have found the joy to my soul, because now I have found Christ. And it's for Him that I want to live. It's unto Him that I want to give my life and give my all. He made me. I'm His. It's coming home, coming to Christ. That's why there's gladness only there. Now notice the parallel that shows how the singing has such a synonym relationship to the gladness. In verse 2 it says, serve the Lord with gladness. And following the Hebrew parallel, the next phrase says, come before His presence with singing. So serve with gladness. Come with singing. So the serving is the coming. When you present yourself before the Lord, you are serving Him. And how do you serve Him? With gladness, with singing. See, the two together. It's not for you to come and sing a dirge of sorrow before the Lord. No, and there's a place for mourning, but usually you don't sing in the mourning. Mourning as in mourning someone who died. But the singing has to do with the gladness, with the joy. And it's amazing to think how the singing of God's Word, when we sing the Psalms in worship, it's at the beginning, it's at the middle, and it's at the end. Just as we have prayers also throughout the service. It's just showing we're so grateful to be here, Lord. Even before we hear Thy Word, we want to say how grateful we are. But not just say it, we want to sing it. And so we sing a psalter. We should sing it with gladness in our hearts. And notice it, beloved. It's not an option. It's not only this Christian or that Christian who should sing with a certain joy in his heart. It's everyone who's not even in this room. The people we passed who were jogging and the people who were already in other kinds of affairs, they also are commanded by God to be in a place of worship, looking to the God who created them and singing with joy. So if they, certainly you. And it's very simple here. If you come before the Lord and you're not really full of joy, you should, first of all, ask forgiveness. Because it's a sin not to be joyful before the Lord. And then say, Lord, give me the joy to sing with this kind of gladness before Thee. Now again, there's always a time for everything. If you just sinned and you are there in the brokenness and asking forgiveness, it's not the time for a glad kind of singing. It is a time for sorrow, for confessing, for repenting. But you come before the Lord, and we are with a solemn worship, but there's still that whole integral part of gladness that God is who He is, and that there's eternity ahead. So, look also at the examples that Scripture gives us. And it's, of course, always connected to moments where men and women have seen the great deliverance of the Lord. And they just could not contain themselves. And they had to show that gratitude in singing with gladness. And so you notice this with Moses. They crossed the Red Sea. And you could imagine, with all those thousands of people, Moses arrived, and they're so tired, they're so thinking of now the next step, that they don't have time to stop and sing, but that is what they do. And Moses sings a song. And Miriam, they're just so grateful. They have to extol the glory of God with singing. And you see this also with Deborah. When she as a judge returns from battle in Barak, and those of Israel who succeeded in that battle, they give gratitude to God with singing. And you see this also with Mary when she receives the news that she's to have the very Son of God within her. And later when she meets Elizabeth and it's so confirmed in her heart, she sings a song to God. It's praise, it's gratitude. With singing. Luther, he said this. He said, the devil cannot bear singing. And we find biblical principles related to this. Remember when Saul would be afflicted by an evil spirit, and then David would sing with his harp, and the spirit would depart from Saul. Now, of course, Satan has used music, and there could be that you could say music he does like. But if there's wholesome music that communicates the glory of God, the peace we have because of our sins forgiven, the devil hates that. Because we are in one voice returning back to God what He gave to us. And it makes him flee away. Now let's go to the next couplet that we see here in the psalm, knowledge and gratitude. And we see this in verse 3, where there's again the command, know ye that the Lord, He is God. What you notice with this verse is that what the psalmist is doing, the very first portion where he introduces joy and singing, it's the command of how we are to be grateful and express our gratitude. But the very next verse, verse 3, shows the foundation. Where does that joy come from? Where does that singing come from? It's not from a blind kind of serving. It's in verse 3, it's from knowing who God is and knowing what God has done in your life. And notice that this is what happens in the psalm in its continuation. Verse 4 will show two other ways that you give your thanks. That's where we'll see praise and blessing. But then verse 5 is showing again, where's the ground of that? Where does that come from? Verse 5 speaks again about who God is. So this knowing has to do with verse 3 and verse 5. So it's basically saying, thank God, and this is why. Thank God, and this is why. And this is why is what the whole knowledge is about. If you are not feeling grateful, God's Word is saying to you, open the Bible and find out who God is. Ask the Lord, reveal thyself to me. I must know thee so that I can be grateful. If you are feeling grateful, but there's not the amount of joy and singing that there should be, what does God's Word say? You need to know God more. And the more you know God, the more joy, the more singing there will be, the more true gratitude there will be. Knowledge is foundational to thanksgiving. And the very word thankful has come from the Anglo-Saxon ancient word thankful. It's what we have today, the word thoughtful and the word mindful. See, you yourself, in your mind, are full of thoughts of who God is. And you can't do anything but return to Him, Lord, Thou art so good to me. The moment you do that, you're giving thanks. So see, the very word thanks has to do with how you think. It's part, it came from that very word, thankful. And we still have the words thoughtful and mindful. And now let's see what it is that we know of God. What does verse 3 reveal about God? First, it's something clearly about the Lord. It says, the Lord, He is God. Jehovah is God. Not all of those false gods around all those nations that they had. A lot of people use the word God for their false gods. But Jehovah was the one true God, the I am who I am. And the psalmist is declaring, the I am who revealed himself to his people as creator of all things, who has no beginning and no end, he is God. And that should make you be grateful. And then the next thing it says is that he is the creator, because it says he hath made us. And that means, of course, that it's not us. I cannot find my joy and gratitude in myself because I have not made myself. So we need to be mindful that God is God, that He has made me, and that we collectively are His people. We rejoice, we're thankful that God has a church, has a people. That's verse 3 also, that we are His people and the sheep of His pastures. So it's basically three things, that God is, that we are His people, and that we were created by God. All these three things. And if we put this together with verse 5, verse 5 also presents three things about God that make us be grateful to God. Verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth for all generations. God is good, He is merciful, He is truthful. Three things about God. So you see what the psalmist is doing. He's just packing this such small psalm, but with eternal realities, so that you have fuel here to be grateful, literally, for all of eternity. Beloved, we will be one day in heaven looking back at this very psalm. and saying, I am grateful to God because of what I found out here. And after a million years in heaven, we'll look at this psalm and learn that God is worthy of being returned with gratitude. And after a million years, the psalm will still keep giving that same fuel. He's noticed verse 5, that's the whole emphasis, that His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth for all generations. It's a never-ending quality of who God is and everything about God. This world, you might find someone who's merciful, but there's always a day where that person won't show the same kind of favor. You'll find truthful people, but there's always a day where either their heart or things they say won't be truthful. That's how we are. There's nothing really permanent about our virtues here on earth. You'll never find someone that way. So many people get so hurt because they find someone or another who's not been honest enough with them. Well, you have to really think, you know, I'm the one to blame, because why have I been trusting man? Let me look to God. He's the one whose truth endureth to all generations. You see, the harder hit you are when people offend you, it shows to that extent you've been really trusting people. In essence, it really shouldn't surprise you if you know your own heart. As soon as someone hurts you, you should think, I should expect that because that's how I am. How many have I hurt? And ask God's grace to leave that and just go to God and say, Lord, Thy truth endureth forever. Let me return thanks to Thee. And be praying for that person, be an example for that person, and not be so hurt. But let me go to God who never changes. Just to give an example of someone in God's Word who, based also on what she knew, she was able to give such true proof of thanks. And this is the woman, Hannah. First, what she knew was that she was barren. But she did know, and that made her sad. It made her the reality of life. It gave her afflictions. But she did know that God heard prayer. She did know that God was sovereign. And she could trust Him with her prayers. And so she prayed that she would have a child. And if she did have a child, she would return that child back to God in gratitude. And God answered her prayer. And so see, the day that Hannah is there taking little Samuel to Eli, that was her Thanksgiving day. And what she was giving was not only a heart of gratitude, it was also her own child. She was giving Samuel, and Samuel was her Thanksgiving offering to God. Now, what was that offering based on? Was it just a blind kind of love? Some people would say, are you crazy, Hannah? This is your child. You're giving him to the church. Why are you doing this? She was doing this because of what she knew. She knew the facts that God was a prayer-hearing God and a prayer-answering God. And she trusted that God. And she loved this God. And so she was able to give thanks to God. And the Lord blessed her and gave her more children after that. But you see many examples in God's Word of people, because of what they knew, then they gave thanks. And now we'll be looking at, thirdly, of these other friends of thanksgiving, praise and blessing. The friends of thanksgiving, joy and singing, knowledge and gratitude. Before we go to praise and blessing, I'll just expand a little on gratitude that I somewhat skipped. Why gratitude? We don't find the terms exactly gratitude in the text, but before verse 3 and 4, there has to be gratitude because of what gratitude is. Verse 3 is speaking of what we're supposed to know. What we're supposed to meditate about God so that we then do give thanks. And see, that's what's in verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. The giving of thanks It's Hannah entering before Eli with a little boy, giving something visual. It would be you with your voice saying, Lord, I thank thee for this because of. And the because of would be what you know about God. But see, between what you know and what you give, there's gratitude right here in between. Gratitude is that disposition of the heart. There will be no thanksgiving if there is no gratitude. And now gratitude is never sufficient. Why not? Just think of yourself. You went through a long phase of helping someone. You've brought meals. You've written letters. You've spoken to that person. And after some time, that person is better after some affliction. And that person feels great gratitude, but she never says a word to you. You see, there's something missing there. There was gratitude, but there was no thanksgiving. And God's Word never says for you to settle with gratitude. It always says give thanks. Yes, have a heart of thanks, but you have to give it to God. And you have to give it to others. You have to say, you know, that was a blessing to me. Thank you so much. I know that in our day-to-day, a lot of times that is missed. And sometimes you remember, and then you call that person or you meet him or her again and you say, I forgot to say thank you for that. But that is one thing we should always strive to do. If we're not giving a lot of thanks, oftentimes it's because we're not having the heart of gratitude. And sometimes it's because we're not having the knowledge. So you see, one thing depends on another. If you know God and you know the blessings He has given to you, you should have gratitude. And this should externalize with giving of that gratitude, which is thanksgiving. One of the Puritans, Goodwin, he even spoke it of as thanksgiving. He said, there's good to be thanksgiving, and that oftentimes is more thinking of the heart. But he says, well, let's have some thanksgiving. Well, that is the thanksgiving. Giving is doing. But always remember to have the doing part of your gratitude. And this is what goes on to verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And now see how in verse 4 we have some other friends of thanksgiving, other virtues and other sentiments and graces that follow right along with thanksgiving and again placed almost as synonyms. Look at verse 4 again. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And then here's the parallel. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, but then the command, and bless his name. So we have there praise and blessing as parts that go together with thanksgiving. Now I mentioned to you that the name of this psalm is a psalm of praise, and there the word praise is a word that can also be translated thanksgiving. But now here the word praise in verse 4 is the more official word for praise. And just like we also have synonyms and words that are very similar one to another, but there's some that are more the concrete feeling. Like thanksgiving is that giving of thanks, and gratitude is more that heart that's behind it. And the same thing with praise. There's the word praise that is more the giving glory to God, extolling God. But then in the Hebrew, there's another word for praise that has the concept of a gratitude in it. So that one is the title of the psalm. And now the word here, praise in verse 4, is the word of extolling, of glorying in God, giving praise to God. And the word bless, it's a word that should bring to you some intriguing. We are the ones blessed of God. And we know that when the Scripture says, blessed art thou, you are blessed. You know that means you are happy. You are made to be favored by God when you are blessed. But then we do speak of blessing God and blessing His name. And you should stop to think and, wait, how am I to make God happy? Well, of course, there's an element of pleasing God in what we say to Him and what we do. But here the whole context of blessing This word could mean, it also has the idea of praise. It even has a concept of a physical kneeling. So it shows this honor that you're showing to God. In many places in Brazil, some families that are very traditional and come from a Catholic background that's very religious, it's very common that children come to their parents and kneel, taking the hand and say, "Bless me, Father." And the father will say, "God bless you, son." And they have this kneeling together with the asking of blessing. And the blessing also, and this perhaps helps us understand better how to relate to this word, bless the name of God. How would we do this? The blessings have to do with the greetings. You know how when we read in the New Testament, Paul is saying hello to a people, he blesses. He's saying goodbye, and he blesses. And the word bless can be used for the hello, and it can be used for the goodbye. And something that's it's hard for us to understand, a word that seems so positive and good, this very word, if it's in the context of something negative, something evil, it can be the word curse. You know how when Job's wife says to Job, curse God and die? Well, that's the word bless. But see, the whole context, she's not telling Job to bless God. She's telling Job to curse him and then die. But why? It's in this context of hello and goodbye. Basically, Job's wife was saying, Job, say goodbye to God. Since he has said goodbye to you, just say goodbye to him and then die. You see how there's the element of curse, the element of it's evil. Job, don't do that. And that's what Job doesn't do, right? He does not say goodbye to God. He says, I welcome, Father, what I'm receiving. He's saying hello in the sense of greeting God and saying, I want this and I will live my whole life with whatever you would bring to me. And so this is the context of praising God and then blessing His name. It's when you look to God and say, Lord, I would never walk away from Thee. I would never say goodbye. Thou art here forever before me. I acknowledge my need of Thee. I bless Thy name. You see, that's what it is when you bless the name of God. It's acknowledging Him. It's thanking Him. It's praising Him. That's why it's all these words in a synonymous ways, all put together. Now, the foundational reason for thanksgiving is when we put all these things together and see who it points to. Well, it says that the Lord is good. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's goodness to us, personified. We see that His mercy is everlasting, and we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was the mercy of God incarnate, and He is everlasting. We see that it's His truth that endureth for all generations that causes us to thank God. Well, we know that the Lord Jesus is the truth, with a capital T. It's in the Lord Jesus that we are made the sheep of His pastures. Nothing was created that was not created through Christ. So when we say, yes, Lord, Thou hast created me, we know it was in Christ. When you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have what you need to be a thankful person, a thankful husband, a thankful wife, a thankful child, a thankful man or woman. Without Christ, there is no giving of proper thanks. Because without Christ, there can be no true singing with that true joy. Without Christ, there's no true knowledge of knowing how things really are and what they're here for. Without Christ, you cannot have that heart welling with gratitude in order to extend it. And without Christ, you cannot praise. You cannot bless. Because without Christ, in essence, you have not yet said welcome even to God. without Christ, it's not so much like you could be in Job and saying goodbye to God and cursing. Without Christ, you have not yet come before Him as one who would bless you. Without Christ, you are outside of blessing. So you cannot thank. You cannot have thanksgivings to God outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when all peoples are commanded to shout with joy, commanded to come with thanksgiving, commanded to come with praise and blessing and gladness, you are commanded to then come to the Lord Jesus and see in Him the truth and the mercy and the goodness of God that will never end. Because in Him your sins are cleansed. In Him you're engrafted in Christ to be the child of God forever and ever. And that'll produce a lot of thanksgiving for all of eternity. It'll never end. And I'll just finish with this quote from the Puritan Richard Sibbes when he speaks of the great duty for us to be people who give thanks. He said, "Our whole life should speak forth our thankfulness. Every condition and place we are in should be a witness of our thankfulness. This will make the time and places we live in the better for us. When we ourselves are monuments of God's mercy, it is proper that we should be patterns of His praises and leave monuments for others." If you live a life of gratitude before your children, they will live ever with that monument before them. Daddy was always grateful because he knew Christ. And our prayer is that our children will then be this monument of gratitude for their children. And it's amazing to think that we're even here today to worship God and give thanks because of men and women who said, "We need to declare a day. Let's set apart. It's not the Lord's day. It's not saying it's better than that day, but it's we have so many days. Let's choose one that we just stop and give thanks to God. It's a monument. This day is a monument in this nation. We have so much to be thankful that we have this privilege. And let us then ourselves be monuments for others and our children of gratitude by looking to Christ